Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erevin Daf Samach Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 8 lines from the top of Daf Samach Aleph. The beginning of today's shiur, in effect, is a direct continuation of that which we had learned at the end of our previous shiur. So, to gain a greater appreciation of that which we will be learning now, it would be of great importance to be familiar with that which we studied at the end of our previous shiur. The Gemara opens up with Rav Nachman commenting on the Tanaic source that was featured at the bottom of Samach Amud Beis and continued to the top of this Amud. And he reflects upon two possible girsos, two versions of this source, and points out that both are legitimate. Amar Rav Nachman, Man Ditoni Anshei Lo Mishtabesh, he who learns the source both parts of it in the positive, which would then mean Anshi Ir Gedola Mahachin Es Kol Ir Katana, and at the top line Anshi Ir Katana Mahachin Es Kol Ir Gedola. So one who has that version is Lo Mishtabish, is not in error, it can be understood. Uman Ditoni Ein Anshi Lo Mishtabish, and he who has the girsa as we in effect have it right now also is not making a mistake, which basically says Ein Anshi Ir Katana Mahachin Es Kol Ir Gedola, where the people of the small city cannot walk the entire length of the large city. Again, we are basing our discussion now on having been familiar with that which we learned at the end of our previous shiur. The Gemara now elaborates a bit. Man ditoni anshei lo mishtabesh, demoikim lo benoisein. If you learn the source, both parts of it in the positive, including the idea that the anshei ir ketana can walk the entire ir gedola, that's a function of the members of the ir ketana having placed an eruv in the ir gedola. That's the word noisein. They placed an eruv there, which basically means they reestablished their Shabbos location as being in the large city. When you do that, the large city becomes your domain and it's considered Dalet Amos. The whole city is basically not reckoned in terms of measuring Tum. You get it automatically, you get it off the top, so to speak. So that the Anshei Ir Ketanu place their Eruv in the Ir Gedola, they can walk the entire Ir Gedola. It counts for them only as 4 Amos, and then continue their 2,000 Amos from that point onwards. The Gemara continues, Uman Detoni Ein Anshei Lo Mishtabesh, the Girsa, like we have it, that says that the people from the Ir Ketanu cannot walk the entire Ir Gedola, bearing in mind that the Ir Gedola is more than 2,000 Amos itself. So why then is that? Why is it that the Anshi Ir Ketana cannot walk the entire Ir Gedola? The source would be featuring a person who did not place the Eruv in the Ir Gedola, but rather started walking from their Ir Ketana, measuring their Tchum, counting their 2,000 Amos from the edge of the Ir Ketana, and they end up somewhere in the middle of the Ir Gedola, but they don't get it as a Dalet Amos off the top. And at this point now, the Gemara will reread the source that we were referring to in a more complete form. Chisur Mechsura means that the source had been left deliberately brief, but thusly it should be understood. Anshi Ir Gedola Mahalchin Es Kol Ir Ketano. The Ein Anshi Ir Ketano Mahalchin Es Kol Ir Gedola. The people from the large city can walk the entire small city, because the entire small city will be contained within their 2,000 amos. However, the people from the small city cannot walk the entire large city, being that the large city itself is more than 2,000 amos, so that as they start counting from the small city, their tum, so they will have already counted a number of amos before they got to the large city, and the balance will end up somewhere in the middle of the large city, the balance of the 2,000 amos. B'amei Dvor Mamurim, when is this the case? The modeid. Modeid has to do with measuring their tum from the edge of their respective cities. And then, as we just mentioned in the case of the small city, when they start measuring their tum from the edge of their city, they'll find that the 2,000 amos does not contain the entire large city. Avol mishahoya biir gedoyla v'hiniyachasi ruv biir ketana, or hoya biir ketana, someone who was in a small city v'hiniyachasi ruv biir gedoyla and placed his eruv, placed his food in the ir gedoyla, designating it as his mokom shvisa, then mahalish es kula v'chutzol alpayim amo, then he can walk in that city and around it 2,000 amos, because he's established his Shabbos location as being in that city. Omar Rav Yosef, Omar Romi Bar Abba, Omar Rav Huna, Ir Shiyosheves al Sfas HaNachal, a city that is positioned at the edge of a river. Im Yesh Lefoneo Dako Arbo, if there is a wall, a mechitza, a daka is a reference to a mechitza that is 4 tvochim of height, modedin lo misfas sanachal, then the city's boundary is considered at the edge of the river. And you can see an illustration of this, illustration 128 on page 133 of the Pirush Chai. So, if it has this wall along the banks of the river, so then the city is considered a single entity, and the tchum would start being measured from that wall. Ve'im lav, if the city doesn't have such a wall, ein moded in lo elo mi pesach beis, so then the tchum is measured from the each person's doorway, his own house. Omar le Abaye, dako arba amois amrislon alo. Abaye says to Rav Yosef, you said concerning this city and river situation, a wall of 4 amos. My shnomi called daki de amo de arba'o. Why is this different than all other cases of dakos that need to be only 4 tvachim? And here you're requiring 4 amos. Omar Lei, Rav Yosef answers, Hosam lo ba'isa tashmishta. In other cases where the daka dimension that's required is only 4 tvachim, is because there is no fear involved in the area next to the wall. It's a simple wall of demarcation, we'll say, but nothing more than that. Hocha bo'isa tashmishta. Here, you're dealing with a river, and there's an element of fear, and a low wall won't prevent that fear factor from people, let's say, leaning on it and falling over into the water. Therefore, here we require a taller wall. Omar Rav Yosef, Mino Amino La. Rav Yosef says, from where do I know this? Desanya, we have a Tanaic source, and before we learn the Tanaic source, we'll want to look at illustration 129, where we see a mountainside with two cities. The higher city is called Goder, and the lower city is called Chamson. The Gemara continues, Desanya, Hitir Rebbe, Shiyu b'nei Goder, Yordin l'Chamson. Rebbe allowed the people from Goder to descend to Chamson, and there's an assumption that we're making is that these cities were within 2,000 amos of one another, and so he allowed the B'nai Goder to go down to Chamson. Ve'ein B'nai Chamson oilun l'Goder. And the people from the lower city, though, were not allowed to go up to Goder. Now, before we continue, we should just point out that what we're dealing with, and Rav Yosef had pointed out, from where do I know that when you have a daka that you can measure from the edge of the city and not be restricted or limited in measuring from each one's own house. So we see in this source proof to that idea, at least at this stage. Now the triangles that you see are four hesberim to explain what Rebbe's ruling involved. So the first stage is what we are looking for, my taima. Why is this? Why is it that the people from Goder were able to get to Chamson and walk throughout Chamson, whereas the people from Chamson were not able to walk throughout Goder? So lav mishum, is it not so because dahani ovud daka, the people of Goder had made a daka, as you can see illustrated. And vahani lo ovud daka, and the people from Chamson didn't have a daka. And as a result of having the daka, the people from Goder started their tchum from the daka, so that anyone from Goder was able to start measuring his tchum from the wall. And it's you can see there's an aleph where the daka is located. And then you can see also a circle which shows how the people from Goder could walk throughout all of Chamson, because they started their measuring their tum from the daka. So that's the proof that Rav Yosef wants to bring from this source to his point. He also Ravdimi Omar. Ravdimi has a totally different approach to this source. And being that he has this different approach, so then Rav Yosef wouldn't have a basis for his teaching from this source. So Ravdimi explains, Tatrugi mitatrugi luhu b'nei Goder l'b'nei Chamson. The people of Goder used to beat and kill people from Chamson. So what Rebbe did here is he instituted a precautionary measure for the B'nai Chamson to stay away from Goder. Umay hitir, the word hitir in the source, what is hitir? What says in the source, it said hitir Rebbe. What does hitir mean? Hiskin, he made a ruling, because hitir generally means he made an allowance. But here it means he made a ruling. And what is the nature of the ruling? So we said that the B'nai Goder, they can go to Chamson, because they're not threatened in Chamson. But we don't want the B'nai Chamson going to Goder, because over there, they are at risk. The Gemara asks, Umay Shno Shabbos, what's unique about Shabbos? Because this whole ruling is in the context of Shabbos. So, answer, Deshchicha Boshichrus. Shabbos is a day when people became intoxicated. They had big meals and drank intoxicating beverages, and that caused them to lose it, so to speak. And as a result of that, the passion of the B'nai Goder was aroused, and hence the B'nai Chamson were at risk. The Gemara asks, Ki azli lahosom nami mitatrigi lahu? Well, according to Rebbe's ruling, the B'nai Goder were able to go to Chamson. But if the B'nai Goder are wrathful and dangerous individuals, would they not endanger the people in Chamson when they get to Chamson? The Gemara answers, you don't have to worry about that. And the Gemara has a saying to illustrate this. Kalba below Mose, Shev Shonen Lo Novach. Well, first we'll give a literal translation. A Kalba, dog, not in its town, outside of its own community, 7 years can go by and it won't bark. In other words, when the B'nai Goder are out of their own location, so whatever passion and fury characterized them was not present, because they weren't at home. The Gemara asks, Hashtonami Mitatrigi Bnei Chamson LeBnei Goder. Well, is there not a fear that now that the person from Goder who posed a threat to the Chamson people, when he gets to Chamson, so the people of Chamson are going to put him at risk? The Gemara says, Kule hai lo kaifi lahu. The Bnei Goder, even though we said that they are not, when they're out of their own town, they lose their fury, they do not, however, become so servile to the extent that they would allow themselves to be attacked by people from Chamson when Bnei Goder are visiting Chamson. Rav Safra, this is another approach to the case involving Rebbe and Goder and Chamson. Now we have a little Aleph in addition to noting Rav Safra as number three. The Aleph will be of benefit because we're going to have a second Lashon on the presentation of Rav Safra and he who follows Rav Dimi. The first version is what we're going to see now, and then the Beis, two lines later, where we've squiggled on a Rav Tavyumi Masni Hochi, you'll see is a second version of presenting these two additional deos. So, Rav Safra Omar, Ir Hu Asuyo Kekeshes Havoi. The Goder Chamson relationship was that one city, Chamson, was in the shape of a keshes. This is a sugya that we saw not long ago, a couple dapim ago, the city that was shaped like a bow, and the distance between the two tips of the bow was more than 4,000 amos. And as a result of that, the people that live in the bow have to start measuring their tum from where they live and not from where the string of the bow would appear. And being that that's the case, they cannot start their measuring from a point relatively close to Goder. And this is illustrated in illustration 130. So you can see this very nicely illustrated, that the people in Chamson were limited in how far they can go in the direction of Goder. However, the people from Goder were able to measure their tum from the edge of their city, the edge closest to Chamson, and thereby be able to go through all of Chamson. Let's take a look at the Rashi. We'll find in the lines under the Gemara Rashi commentary, in the middle of the wide lines, Ir Hu Asuyo Kekeshes Avoi Chamson, that was the city that was in the shape of the bow. Ubein Shnei Rosho Yosemi Arba Salofim, and between the two tips of the city, there was more than 4,000 amos. Damrina Beresh Pirkin, we said at the beginning of the parak, Moidedin Lo Min Akeshes, that they would have to measure their tchum from the bow and not from where the string of the bow would have been. And that involves Kol Echo Mi Pesach Beso, each one is going to be measuring his tchum from his house. The Yeser Shelo Litzad Goder, and the bow, the imaginary bow, is facing Goder, the city above it. Hilkoch Yordin Bnei Goder LeChamson, Shreimodin LeGoder MeChomasa. The people from Chamson can go into, the people from Goder can go into Chamson because they have the benefit of measuring from their city wall. V'chol Chamson Muvlas B'tchuma, and all of Chamson is within the 2,000 amos of the outer wall of Goder, and you can see this illustrated in the picture. Ubnei Chamson Yoshin Bekeshes, the people from Chamson that are dwelling in the bow, Umodidin Lohen Min Hakeshes, and they measure their tchum from where their houses are. Kolo tchumon Berosheho Shel Goder, Vein Yucholim Likones Lo. Their tchum ends at the entrance to Goder, and they cannot walk the entire city of Goder. And that you can see illustrated in the picture. The Hochi, and as a result of this setup, so the people from Goder who are able to measure from their outer wall can actually cover, they can go to all parts of Chamson. but the people from Chamson that had to measure from their houses could not go to all parts of Goder, but were limited to the edge of Goder. Continuing in the Gemara, Rav Dimi bar Chinino Omar, a fourth explanation as to what was taking place in the source with Rebbe, Goder, and Chamson. Rav Dimi says, Anche ir gedolo ve anche ir katano havoi. And here we look at Rashi. We have a diamond in our marked Rashi, so you can see this where this is coming from. So let's look at the Rashi. Goder ir gedolo. Goder was a large city. As the people from Chamson, which was the smaller city, they would count their tchum as their measure their tchum as they left their city. But being that Goder was a large town, the 2,000 amos would end somewhere in the middle of Goder. B'Chamson ir ketano. Chamson, on the other hand, was a small city. K'shiyordin law b'nei Goder, when the people from Goder who start measuring their tchum from the edge of their city, when they descend to Chamson, being that Chamson is a small city, kolsa midosim b'sofu ir, their tchum measurement will end at the far end of the small town, in thereby including all of the small town in their measurement. Bochikomar Rebbe, and thusly Rebbe was saying, Shubinei Goder, which is the large town, Yordin Lechamson, Lios Lahen Kula Kedalad Amos, because their Tchum measurement includes the whole city, so Chamson, the small town, is considered like Dalad Amos, and Mashlimin Lahen Es HaShaar, and they can then continue the balance of they're counting up till 2,000 amos on the other side of the small Chamson. Avol Goder oylu lebnei Chamson midas atchum. However, with regard to the people from Chamson going to the large city of Goder, so their tchum measurement is measured while walking in the city. In other words, Goder will not be counted as 4 amos for the people from Chamson. We continue in the Gemara. Rav Kahana Masni Hochi. That means that Rav Kahana taught the approaches of Rav Safra and Rav Dimi Bar Chinuno as we just learned. In other words, Rav Safra was associated with the explanation of Ir Asuya Kekeshes, and Rav Dimi was associated with the explanation of the Ir Gedola and Ir Ketana. Rav Tavyumi Masni Hochi. But Rav Tavyumi has a different way of presenting Rav Safra and Rav Dimi Bar Chinuno as follows. Rav Safra, Rav Dimi Bar Chinuno, Chad Omar Ir Asuya Kekeshes Havoi, V'chad Omar Anshe Ir Ketano, V'anshe Ir Gedola Havoi. He presents the two names at the outset and doesn't associate a name with a specific explanation. So that's, we'll say it's a more vague presentation than that of Rav Kahana, who associated an explanation with a particular name. The Mishnah. Anshe Ir Gedola Mahalchin Es Kol Ir Ketano. The Anshe Ir Ketano Mahalchin Es Kol Ir Gedola. The people from a large city can walk through the entire small city, and those of the small city can walk through the entire large city. Ketzat. How do we explain this? Mishoya Beir Gedola, someone who was in a large city, and it's Shabbos is approaching, Venosan Es Eruvo Beir Ketana, and he placed his Eruv in the small city. That means he's establishing his Shabbos location as being in the small city. Beir Ketana, someone who was in a small city, Venosan Es Eruvo Beir Gedola, and he placed his Eruv in the large city. Mehalech is Kula V'chutzol Alpayim Amo. By placing your Eruv in a particular town, you thereby establish that town as your Shabbos location, and that in mind, you then can walk around that entire town 2,000 amos in all directions. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ein loy elo mimokom Eruvo alpayim amo. Rabbi Akiva doesn't view the whole town as a mere four amos, but he says that you focus on where the Eruv is, and from the Eruv you can walk 2,000 amos around, but not 2,000 amos beyond the city. 2,000 amos is an amount you can walk around your Eruv. Omar Lohan Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva continues, and he says to the Rabbanan, "I atem moidim li benoisin eruvo b'ma'ora, she'ein loy elo mimokom eruvo alpayim amo. Do you not concede to me that if a person places his eruv in a cave, that he counts 2,000 amos from where his eruv is?" So, just like you all agree with that, so too when you place your eruv in a city, you count your 2,000 amos from the eruv. Omru lo, so the Rabbanan responded to Rabbi Akiva and said, "Amosai bisman she'ein ba diurin." That may be the case when there are no dwellers. Aval yesh ba diurin, if there are dwellers, mahalech is kula v'chutzala alpayim amo. You would be able to walk not only the entire area where there are dwellers, but beyond the perimeters of that area, an additional 2,000 amos. Nimsa kal tocha me'al gabo. The result of this analysis is that imagine a cave with that's inhabited, so that we will be more lenient with regard to someone who locates himself in the cave versus someone who locates himself on top of the cave. On top of the cave is what we would call the outdoors. No one lives there. So that we have a greater leniency with regard to someone who's inside the cave, if there are dwellers, than being on top of the cave. Ulamodeid shomru, noisin alpayim amo. And when we speak about the modeid, he is the person that is counting his 2,000 amos from where he is at the point that Shabbos sets in. So regarding the modeid, Shafilu sof midoso kola b'ma'ora. That means that he counts 2,000 amos. Even if his 2,000 amos end in the middle of a cave, he stops at that point. Let's take a look at Rashi, who elaborates a bit more. The second line from the bottom of the Rashi page, Ulamodeid she'omru, v'afalpi shechalukin chachomel Rabbi Akiva, even though the chachomim disagree with Rabbi Akiva b'noisin eruv b'ir, with regard to the case of someone who places his eruv, his places food in a city, lomar shekol yir lo karba amos, the chachomim say that the entire city is viewed as a mere four amos for him, thereby enabling him to count 2,000 amos beyond the city limits. Moedin hein, the chachomim will concede to Rabbi Akiva, bebo meir acheres o mimokom shvisoso, regarding someone who is coming, who's arriving from another city, or from some location that he was positioned in at the onset of Shabbos, the kolsamidosa shalpayim psius beinanias, and his measurement of 2,000 medium-sized steps, which we associate with an amo, and his steps ends afilu b'ma'ora sheyesh ba diurin, and it ends in a cave, even if the cave happens to have inhabitants, she'eno nichnas lahalon mimidoso klum. He is not allowed to go beyond the point that his 2,000 steps ended. And the emphasis here is, even if there are diurin, there are dwellers in that cave. We now continue at the top of Amud Beis. Before we learn the Gemara itself, though, let's take a look at our Nosei Mivne heading. We will feature a diamond which highlights a Machlokes Shmuel v'Rebelozer, a Machlokes Amoroyim be'inyan, regarding a case of Shovas Ohiniach Eruv Be'ir Chareva, a person who found himself in an Ir Chareva. Ir Chareva literally is a desolate city. Either he was there at the onset of Shabbos, or he had placed an Eruv in such a city. Ech Modedin Hualpayim Amo. How do we measure the 2,000 amos. The Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Shovas be'ir chareva l'rabbonon. The reference to Rabbonon is as opposed to Rabbi Akiva, someone who accepted Shabbos while present in an ir chareva, means it's desolate of a population, but it has walls. So it's we call this a ghost town, if you will. And he was shoves in such a place. According to the Rabbonon, Mahalich is kula v'chutzo lo apayim amo. He would be entitled to walk the entire town, and outside the town, 2,000 amos. So that the entire town is not part of his calculations. The town is given to him, so to speak, off the top, and he can continue 2,000 amos in all directions around the town. Hiniach eseruva be'ir chareva. However, if he places food in the ir chareva to establish that as his mokum shvisa for Shabbos, ein loy mimokum eruvo ela alpayim amo. Then he counts his 2,000 amos from where he placed the eruv, disregarding the fact that it's in a town. So that this presents a greater limitation. He can count his 2,000 amos only from where the food itself was placed. Rebbe Elozer Omer, Echot Shovas ve'echot Hiniach, Mehalech is Kula v'chutzala alpayim amo. You can see that Rebbe Elozer is more lenient. He is telling us, even in the case of Hiniach, and you can see with our squiggle underlines and dashed underlines, we're able to highlight the point of controversy. So, as opposed to the Hiniach of Shmuel, where the bays and the swoon underlined Hiniach appears, Shmuel says, Ein lo, there, he doesn't have the 2,000 amos around the town, but rather only from the Eruv. Rebbe Elozer's case of Hiniach, and you see we dashed underlined the Chutzalah, he gets 2,000 amos around the city as well, even in the case of Hiniach. The Gemara continues with some new shapes. The triangle is featured, and on the side of the Gemara, we have an explanation. Kushos al Rebbe Elozer. We're going to present questions on Rebbe Elozer. Shelo chilek bein shavas lehiniach. Rebbe Elozer did not make any distinction between the case of shavas versus the case of hiniach. And we're going to see that needs that comes under scrutiny in our questions. Bishnehem, we say, according to Rebbe Elozer, in both cases of Shovas and Iniach, Yeshlo Alpayim Amo Gam Michutza Lo. So now we're going to challenge that. We start with the first triangle, Mesve. The question lasts a number of lines, hence you can see the long question marking. Meisve, Omar Lahen, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva spoke to the Rabbanan, and they said, Rabbi Akiva said to them, Iyatem moidim li, benoisin esiruvu b'moro, she'ein lo mimokum eruvel alpayim amo, one who places his eruv, this is the case of Hiniach, he places his eruv in a cave, that he has only 2,000 amos from where the food is. Amru lo, the Rabbanan responded, Emosai, Bizman she'ein bo diurin. That is true when there are no dwellers. Now, we focus on this source and point out, Ha be'ein bo diurin, given a case of it being vacant, no dwellers, modu lei. The Rabbanan concede to Rabbi Akiva's restriction. So here we have a case of Meniach, and we count the 2,000 amos only from the food, and not Chutzalo Alpayim. That's a challenge to Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara answers, on behalf of Rabbi Elozer, My Ein Bo Diurin. What does the Ein Bo Diurin expression mean that we saw in the source? Eino reuya ledira. It's not fit for dwelling because its walls have caved in. However, if it's something that's fit for dwelling, even if there are no actual dwellers, you would get 2,000 amas around the cave as well. Toshma. Again, we raise a challenge. You can see this is a long question. The source begins. Shavas. And we have Aleph, Be'ir, and next line, Bima'ora. Shavas means he accepted Shabbos while located Be'ir, in a city. Afilu hi gedolo ki Antuchia, even if it's as large as the city of Antuchia. Bima'ora. Afilu hi kemara sitkiyah melech, melech Yehuda. Or he accepted Shabbos while in a cave, even if it's as large as the cave of Tzidkio HaMelech, Malchus Kula V'chutza Lo Alpayim Amo. He is entitled to walk the entire, either large city or the entire large cave, and in addition to that, 2,000 Amos around it. Kotoni Ir Dumya Dimora. The source features the city parallel to the case of the cave. Ma Ma'ora Chareva. Af ir chareva, just like a ma'ora, a cave, is generally speaking uninhabited, so too the city featured here is uninhabited. Veshavas in avoliniach loy. This idea of getting 2,000 amas around is only in the case of shavas, where you were actually there. But if it were a case of hiniach, where he places his eruv in the city or in the cave, lo, then there would be no entitlement to the chutzalo alpayim amo. Okay, so far we're showing that there's an element of limitation in the case of hiniach iruvo. Moni, who is the author of this source, ilemo Rabbi Akiva. If you were to think it's Rabbi Akiva, my irio chareva, why speak about something that is uninhabited, and then make the inference that that in the case of Hiniach in an uninhabited place, then we say he doesn't get chutzalah. Afilu yeshiva nami. If it were according to Rabbi Kiva, even if it were a place that there are that is inhabited, when you have Hiniach, when you have the case of placing an eruv, which is what is the case we're focusing on right now, the placing of an eruv case. According to Rabbi Kiva, even if it's placed in a place of habitation, he doesn't get 2,000 amos chutzalah. So that the source that speaks about, from which we inferred at least, that we're talking about a case of a place that's chareva, you wouldn't have to teach me this according to Rabbi Akiva. It would be very obvious. Because Rabbi Kiva, even a place that's inhabited, and you are relying on Hanochas Eruv, you are limited to 2,000 amos around the Eruv alone. Elolav Rabbonon. So rather, the source must be according to the Rabbonon, who make a distinction between Shavas and Hiniach. It's a distinction is made according to the Rabbonon between Shavas and Hiniach. The time of the Shavas in, the reason that he has 2,000 Amos Chutza is because he was Shavas, Avol Hiniach Lo. But if it were an issue of placing an Eruv in this desolate, uninhabited location, he would not get 2,000 Amos all around. That is against Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said, just like in the case of Shavas, you get 2,000 Amos all around, in the case of Hiniach Eruv also you get that. So that's the end of our long question. So the Gemara responds, and the answer takes a few lines to develop. Loi temo ir dumyo dema'ora. Don't say as we originally thought to say, that we want to parallel the city to the case of the ma'ora, and then come to a conclusion that we're talking about a desolate city. Elo emo, rather say the opposite. Me'ora dumya de'ir. The case of the cave in the source was a cave similar to a normal city. Ma'ir yeshiva, just like a normal city is inhabited. Af me'ora yeshiva. So too, the me'ora is inhabited. For Rabbi Akiva hi. And the source is according to Rabbi Akiva. Which then we'll just say, is it brings no bearing on the machlokas we saw above Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar, because Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar were going within the opinion of the Rabbonon. So this source we're saying now is in accordance with Rebbe Akiva, who is a more restrictive opinion in these matters. And it's Rebbe Akiva he de Omar ein lo mimokom eruvo elo alpayim amo. Rebbe Akiva says that one does not have more than 2,000 amos from the eruv itself. Ubeshavas moidi. However, in the case of shavas, he concedes that where you yourself were located, and not just an eruv, but you were located in a given place, he will be moide that you get 2,000 amos all around. So that at this point we're saying that the source is talking about an inhabited place, and Rabbi Akiva has a leniency when you are shavas in an inhabited place. The Gemara asks, "V'ha kema'ora sitio kotoni," but the source parallels the case of the city to Mora Sityo. And that cave, the cave of Sityo, Sifa was a king at the end of the first Beis Hamikdash era, and he had a cave as an escape route from the enemies. That cave was not inhabited. So how can you say that the source is talking about something inhabited and say that it's a ma'ora like a city when the ma'ora in the source said specifically we're talking about Mora Sityo, and that's uninhabited? The Gemara answers, Kimora Sityo v'lo Kimora Sityo. Well, in the source it was talking about a cave like that of Sityo in certain respects, but not in all respects. Kimora Sityo gedola. The cave in the source is like the Sityo cave, which was very large. It was vast in size. So that is what we are talking about. V'lo k'mor sityo, however, unlike mor sityo, the luhasim chareva v'hochi yeshiva, the true, the authentic mor sityo, the original cave of sityo, was in fact uninhabited. But in this source, we're talking about an inhabited cave. And as we said before, that the cave is similar to the city. Just like a city is inhabited, so too the cave is inhabited. And Rabbi Akiva is the author of the source, who will concede that when you're shavas in a place of habitation, so you are able to count the whole area as 4 amos and continue the 2,000 amos counting around that area. Mar Yehuda Ashkechinu Livnei Mavrachso de Komoisvi Ravayhu Beveknishta de Bei Agubar. Mar Yehuda met. He found or met the people of Mavrachsa that were Moisvi. They were placing an Eruv in the shul, that's the shul known as Bei Agubar. Rashi says, Bebei Knishta the Bei Agubar, Bei Sakneses Godol Hoya, it was a large shul, a large synagogue, Vekulo Muvla Balpayim Shel Tchum Mavrachsa. And the entire shul was within the Tchum of Mavrachsa, v'heim lo hoyu choshishin lo yilcha eruv ad sofo l'nicho sham. They didn't think to place the eruv, which is the food, toward the far end of this large shul. The sviluk rabbanon, because the bnei mavrachsa were of the opinion of the rabbanon, the kivon de munach ba'avir mechitzos. Once the eruv is placed in the confines of a walled area, mahalchin es kula v'chutzal alpayim, holding like the rabbanon, we know that entitles you to walk around it as well, 2,000 amos around the area, and not just from the eruv itself. So this is what Mar Yehuda encountered with regard to the bnei mavrachsa. They were placing the eruv in the shul without bothering to place the Eruv at the far end of the shul. Omar Lahu, Mar Yehuda says to them, Govu Beit Fei, push the Eruv in, deepen the Eruv further in toward the far side of the shul. Ki hechi delishteri lechu tvei. By doing that, you will increase the amount of distance you can walk in that direction, because the assumption right now is that the the counting is made, the distance counting is made from where the actual food is. Amarle Rava. Rava speaks to Mar Yehuda and says, Palga, you cantankerous individual, you who argue on the sages. Be'eruvin leis dechosh leha de Rabbi Akiva. With regard to the rules of Eruvin, we don't pay attention to Rabbi Akiva, who spoke about measuring only from the mokum of the Eruv, but rather we go like the Chachomim that say that if you place the Eruv in an enclosed area, you are entitled to you're entitled to walk from outside the enclosed area 2,000 amos, making it irrelevant where within the enclosed area you actually place the Eruv. At this point, you can see we finished the perek, and we are about to start the sixth perek of Erevin. We'll, Mirz Hashem, learn the Mishnah, but before we continue with the new perek, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. The Mishnah. Hador im ho'akum b'chotzer o im mi she'enu moide be'eruv. If someone finds himself dwelling in a courtyard that he's sharing with an idol worshiper, or someone who does not acknowledge Eruv as being something effective, something meaningful in a halachic sense, hareze oiser olav. So the presence of the idol worshiper, or this we'll call skeptic, presents a problem for the Jew that's living there, and so that the Jew won't be able to carry items from his house into the courtyard. Rabbi Lezer ben Yankiv Omer, Le'olam Einu Oser, the idol worshiper, does not present a problem. Ad Shu Shnei Yisraelim Oserin Ze Al Ze. Unless you had two Jews that were there also who could Aser pose restriction one on the other in the event that he doesn't contribute to the Eruv. The Rashi, under the Gemara, Dibur Masal, Achu Shnei Yisraelim, Dorin B'Shnei Batim, until you have a case where you have two Jews, each one in a separate house opening to the courtyard, the Oisrin Ze'al Ze'eh, and they could impose a restriction one on the other, Uboin La'ariv B'neim, and now they come with the desire to make an Eruv between themselves. Ho'akum oisar leim, the idol worshiper that's living there, will then present a restriction upon them. Aval al hayochid eino oser. Uvegemara meforash taimo. However, if it's an issue of a single Jew with a Gentile, with an idol worshiper neighbor, so then he doesn't pose a restriction on the Jew that's there. Continuing in the Mishnah, Omar Rav Gamliel, Maisa b'tzeduki echot shehoya dor imonu b'movui b'Yerushalayim. It was an incident where there was a tzeduki. Tzeduki is a person who doesn't believe in the oral Torah. He accepts only the Torah shebiksav. So he was living with us in an alleyway. And this was in Yerushalayim, and he was mevatel his rishus to us. That's what we see in the Rashi. That means he assigned to the family of Gamliel possession of his portion in the Mavui. The Omar Lonu Abba, so Rabbi Gamliel continues the story and says, and father told us, Maharu v'hotziu es akelim l'movui ad she'lo yotzi v'yaser aleichem. Hasten to put into the movui your vessels, and thereby make a chazoka, so to speak, take possession, so to speak, of the alleyway before the onset of Shabbos, so as to prevent the tzeduki from possibly retracting. And if he would retract, in other words, if we wouldn't make this kinyan, this form of acquisition, beforehand, and then he would retract from his having been mevatel, his domain to us, we won't be able to carry from our houses into the courtyards and from the courtyards into the alleyway. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Beloshon Acher. Rabbi Yehuda's version of the story involving Ramlio is presented in a different version, a different form, where the father of Ramlio said, Maharu v'asu tzorchechem b'movoi, ad shelo yotzi v'yoser aleichem. Take care of whatever needs you have of moving things around in the Movui before Shabbos sets in, because once Shabbos sets in, he could present a restriction on you. We take a look at Rashi, the second to last line, Maru v'yasi tzorchechem b'movui mibod yom, de b'Shabbos loma hani l'chu hai bitol. This second version tells us that the fact that the tzeduki might have granted through being mevatel his reshus to us, that doesn't help. Shemo yotzi v'yasra lechem, he might later on Shabbos, the tzeduki himself might carry things out into the mavui, thereby creating a restriction. To Kosev Rabbi Yehuda, and here's the main point, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, even though they may have made a chazaka on the Mavui, that is not sealed in concrete, so to speak, and the tzeduki still poses us a threat. So that the only advice is, finish all your needs before the onset of Shabbos to make sure that you're not going to be subjected to any restriction later on. The Gemara that is appropriate for this Mishnah will continue on Samach Beis Amud Aleph, which Amir Tzashem we will learn in our next shiur. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.